couldn't help but think when Chuck was singing that of Martha outside of her dead brother's tomb, Lazarus, horrified that Jesus has shown up days after his death. And Jesus simply says, I'm the resurrection and the life. Do you believe? Isn't that the singular, most essential question that humanity will ever be asked? Do you believe? And the truth and the reality of God's faithfulness depends on that very answer. Do you believe? You know, we've talked about our faithfulness, and in the bulletin, and Patty had us quote that earlier in Psalm 36:5. Your love, Lord, reaches to the heavens, your faithfulness to the skies. Your faithfulness, we sang earlier, stands like the mountains. Growing up in Alaska, I had the privilege of going to Victory Bible Camp. And outside Victory Bible Camp, there's a peak called Victory Peak. Now, several years ago, I had the opportunity of going and speaking there at the middle school camp. I had always wanted to climb Victory Peak. It's a hard climb. It's a difficult climb. It's only about 4,700 feet in elevation, but it's a lot of shale, a lot of rocks. There's still ice even in the summer. It's Alaska, of course. And I always wanted to climb that. So the one summer that I was there speaking at camp, I decided with a group of about 8 kids and counselors out of 80, they were the only ones that wanted to go, I was going to climb that. The day to climb was Thursday. Wednesday afternoon, because as a Bible speaker at camp, I always believe that my role is to associate, integrate myself into the lives of the campers because I can earn the right for them to listen to me by how I get involved. So Wednesday afternoon, and I think you can see the intensity on my face, serious middle school tube wars. Well, the counselor on the far side, you can see him getting ready to jump. No lie, this is about 5 seconds before he jumped over into the tube, ripped me off the tube. I roll off the tube, hit the water wrong, twist my ankle, sprain an ankle. I cannot go on the victory hike. I'm really upset. And so when the kids came down Thursday with the counselors and they talked about the victory hike and they're all talking about that tremendous view over the Matanuska Valley and the glacier, and I really was wanting to be a part of that, and I'm talking to them, asking about it, one of the smart mouth campers said, well, I can tell you all about it, but you really have had to do it to understand. You really had to climb it to know what it was experienced. And I said, duh, that's why I'm asking you the question. That's what I wanted to know about that. But I want you to think about this idea. When I think of God's faithfulness stands like the mountains, here's how I picture it. I see it as God's call to climb the mountain. You see, in the Old Testament, Israel, as a nation, was told, you wait in the valley. Moses is the only one that can climb the mountain. Today, in the church, the body of Christ, I believe that God says, all of you can climb the mountain and find me. All of you can stand on the top of the mountain. All of you can know my faithfulness. If you climb to the top, you'll be there. There's a truth in the reality that when we talk about climbing to the top and stand on the mountaintop, there's a reality of God's faithfulness that's integrated into our lives. I remember when Ken Kemper came back and talked about climbing Mount Kilimanjaro in Africa. His sister-in-law, Kim, showed pictures of climbing that same mountain. I'm looking at that in awe, but I didn't climb it. I could not relate to what they were talking about. You see, how many times in our Christian life, we sang that song earlier, I want to walk with you, Jesus. I want to feel your presence. I'm standing on your promises. I know your word is true, Chuck sang. I'm standing on your promises. I know your word is true. Those are the two key words in the entire Christian life, standing and knowing. Where are you standing, and what do you know? That's the key. See, in the book of 1 John, chapter 2, verse 5, it says, but if anyone obeys his word, God's love truly is made complete in him. This is how we know we are in him. How? This is how we know, because we obey his word. See, standing and knowing are critical components. There is a huge difference between having your salvation and knowing your salvation. There's a big difference, especially as it relates to God's faithfulness. One of the first things that I ever learned at Grace Bible College in Christian Ed classes from Ev Byer was this comment and statement. She said, there is a big difference between training to do something and just trying. If you can't see that, that's a mouse with a helmet. Because the mouse has had the experience and understands the dynamic of what has happened. You see, experience gives us that ability to know better and preparation into the future. It's like great truths that children have learned. For example, you can't baptize cats. Okay, well, that makes sense. Here's another truth that children have learned. Food sticks to the wall better when wet. How many of you know that one? Or here's another one. Don't let your mother brush your hair when she's mad at your dad. How do children know those truths? They know those truths because of experience, because of going through the development, because of experiencing the faithfulness and the reality of those examples. You see, that's where we're at in this project. And I think, unfortunately, for way too many Christ followers, the Christian walk is simply trying to understand and know God's faithfulness versus training. See, the training part is the knowing and standing on the promises. So here's what we know. To know God's faithfulness and that level of God's faithfulness, it must be met with a level of our own. I think it's important for us to understand that. Paul says in Galatians 5:25, since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. You see that phrase, keep in step? It really is a military cadence. It is marching. That's exactly what Paul is using, a military term, to keep in step, to march with the Spirit. If we're going to be living by the Spirit, we have to keep pace with the Spirit. And so the challenge for this church is, Rush Creek Bible Church, are we going to keep pace, military in step, with the Holy Spirit in the direction God leads us? That's what Paul's talking about. To know God's faithfulness is that we are willing to match that faithfulness with the faithfulness of our own. Now, when I say match, do not interpret that as being equal, okay? God's faithfulness transcends any of humanity. What I am saying is there is a responsibility of faithfulness on the part of the Christian. Galatians 5, right before that passage, talks about the fruit of the Spirit. One of the fruit of the Spirit is what? Faithfulness. There is a faithfulness on our part that God seeks to match his investment, and that is climbing, and that is the willingness to stand on the mountain. That's keeping in step with the Spirit. That's a military cadence that is walking. And so Rush Creek, our faithfulness as a church does matter. You and the impact of this church makes a difference. You know, in less than a year and a half, or a little over a year and a half, we're going to be celebrating this church's existence of ministry for 100 years. 100 years of God's faithfulness. Now, on the panel, you heard from some of our more experienced faithful members. None of them have been here 100 years, but they certainly were connected to those who were. God's faithfulness over those years are transcended only by the reality of those individuals that are faithful with God has called them. This church and the ministry of this church would be nowhere if the faithfulness of those people identified were not able to be demonstrated and used and responsive to who God is in our life. That's the reciprocality of the Christian life. To know my salvation is far exceeds than just having it. You know, when I was a camper at that same Victory Bible Camp, my 9th grade year, I got saved 8 or 9 times. Some of you know that. I've shared that testimony with you. Every time I heard about burning in hell, I got saved. Now, I know my mom knelt me down at 5 years of age, and I trusted Jesus Christ as my personal Savior, but that was my mom's testimony, not mine. That was my mom's witness, not mine. I didn't remember that. Now, I trusted my mom. I believed her, but I didn't remember that. And I would get saved, and I would get saved as many times as it took to make sure I knew exactly where I was at. See, God's faithfulness says, look, John, I am demanding a response from you. I have invested into you a workmanship, an investment of good works that needs to be demonstrated and shown. And as a church, he is saying the exact same thing. Faithfulness does matter, Rush Creek. Faithfulness is about the love of God. In spite of sin, in spite of how much we struggle with choices, the more we actively love him, the more we actively seek him, the more we know of his faithfulness. Faithfulness, then, Rush Creek, is a step of faith. It's a reality of truth that has a sequence of understanding. Turn, if you will, in your Bibles to the book of Psalm. Psalms 100. Psalm 100, and actually some of the music we had this morning came out of some of the Psalms. But Psalm 100. And I want to begin reading in verse 3. It's page 585 on the Pew Bible in front of you. And by the way, for those of you who are first-time guests and visitors, we're welcoming you here today. This service today is a little bit longer than the norm. Now, some of you are thinking, no, it's not. But it is, okay? So we're moving a little bit longer than the norm, okay? Because we had a lot of things we wanted to do in celebration of God's faithfulness, but it's also a celebration of commitment. It's a celebration of commitment. But look here in Psalm 100 and look at verse, let's start with verse, let's just look at verse 3. Know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. For the Lord is good and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generation. So what is this about God's faithfulness? You know, you might remember a popular praise chorus. And no, I'm not going to sing it. God is good all the time, all the time. God is good, okay? And you might remember that phrase, so back and forth. So a pastor would stand up, God is good. And you would say, God is good. And so we repeat that. And it's nice to do that in church. But what about when you're sitting in the hospital room and you've just got terminal news about a disease? What about that time? You see, here's what the psalmist, David, is trying to communicate to us about God's faithfulness. He's saying there's an understanding of God's faithfulness that is critical. First of all, you have to know all the time God is good. His goodness transcends circumstances. To understand that starts with believing and discovering why the character, the very nature of God is good. God can only be good. Now, we've kind of misused, not misused, but we've abused the word good. Good can apply to all kinds of things. Well, that was good coffee to one person, is bad coffee to another one. But this idea of goodness transcends everything in our human realm of definition. God is good all the time. It is the very nature of God. And the very next phrase says, his love endures forever. Some of the translators use the word mercy there. For love. If goodness is God's character, then mercy becomes his nature. You see, the psalmist is trying to get us and leading us into the idea of how do we know God's faithfulness? We know God's faithfulness, first of all, by understanding he is good. His goodness is real. His goodness is genuine. His goodness transcends all of our circumstances, all of our experiences, everything in life. God is good. That's who he is. That is his character. Mercy becomes his nature. God seeks good in our lives. You know, next week we're going to look at 1 John chapter 1 as we continue our series, Relentless Pursuit, next week. In verse 5 it says, God is light, in him is no darkness at all. God is light, there is no darkness, there is no dark side in God. He is pure light, he is pure goodness. And the psalmist tells us that his mercy endures forever. He writes that several other times in other psalms as well. By the way, what's another fruit of the Spirit? Goodness. You see, it's interesting that Paul brings all of these fruits together that emulates the very character and nature of God as shared attributes that we have a part of, and our faithfulness is how we demonstrate the goodness of God through our own goodness, through our own lives, through our own demonstration of who that is. And so now there's mercy. There is no running out of mercy, but there's certainly running from mercy, isn't there? We run from God's mercy for all kinds of reasons: guilt, brokenness, shame. But God's mercy never runs out. It's eternal. There's nothing you can do. I'm sure you've heard this phrase many times. There's nothing you can do to make him love you more, and there's nothing you can do to make him love you less. God's mercy and God's love are synonymous with his character and his passion and who he really is. And the idea of his nature is he is merciful and his mercy endures forever. Paul said that in Philippians chapter 1, verse 6. Paul said, you know, I'm confident of this thing. I'm confident that he who began a good work in me will complete it, will continue it, will keep it on going until the day of completion. That day of completion is not my death. You see, God's faithfulness transcends my understanding. It is good. There is mercy, and that mercy endures forever. As a kid growing up, there was a plaque in our house, and I remember it. I don't remember actually what the plaque looked like, but I think it was one of those ones you would make in Sunday school. I don't think I made it. I think my sister did, but the plaque said this. I asked Jesus, how much do you love me? He said, this much. Then stretched out his arms and died. Love and mercy beyond eternity coming together. Brought together at the cross, and Jesus says, here I am. Here is my mercy. Here is who I am. No longer on the cross, but seated at the right hand of the Father, and God's faithfulness and his goodness and the love of mercy combined says, here is my faithfulness and why. The psalmist says it at the very end. His faithfulness continues through all generations. Some translations use truth. His truth endures. His truth continues through all generations. You can interchange faithfulness and truthfulness, can't you? From the start of this church over 98 years ago till now, his truth and promise, his truth in himself, has been fulfilled and carried out by people who have been faithful to what God has called them to do. God's greatness, God's faithfulness, nothing, no change, however great or catastrophic. Nothing in the culture of this world, no matter how sick the society becomes around us, no matter how many school shootings we have to endure, no matter how much sin and evil exists in the world today, here is one thing that God says is immutable. He cannot change. He cannot change. He cannot change his goodness. He cannot change his love. He cannot change his mercy. And you know what's better than he cannot do it? He doesn't want to. He doesn't want to because he loves us. And his faithfulness exists to move into our life. This church believes deeply in the impact of generation upon generation. That's the faithfulness of the God we know. This church believes deeply in the commitment to work with children and families. I so appreciate it, and I can't remember who it was, someone said about the future and about inviting non-church families to come. You know, one reason that we're doing that project in the children's wing is so that you invite families with children that are moving into this area, that don't go to church, don't care about church. You say, look, we are committed to your children. If you want to bring your children, I will be with them. I will bring them into a facility that's committed to teaching and training them in as secure environment as possible. That gives you the freedom to bring them here, to invite them here. That's what we want. That's the kind of outreach and extension of God's faithfulness. It reaches to all generations. So, if the foundation of God's faithfulness is knowing his goodness, not just hearing about it, not just listening to it, but knowing it because we're going to climb the mountain ourselves, and his love and mercy endures forever, that sustains that, and the focal point of that foundation is that it endures throughout all generations, faithfulness of generation to generation. What's required of us this morning in celebration? Go back to verse 4. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Now here's the Old Testament, New Testament difference. In the Old Testament, when David wrote that, the nation of Israel entered literally the courts of the temple. God said, build a temple where I can meet you, where I can come down and commune with you, but build a temple, and for you to come, you have to come into the temple, you have to come into my courts, and you have to offer praise, because here's where I'm at. I'm in the temple. And so they had to come, and they waited with excitement for over a year so they could go and experience temple worship, where they could walk into the temple and they knew that God was there and that the high priest was acting on their behalf, and they knew that's where God was. And so that heightened sense of God's faithfulness was made real every year that they were able to be a part of that temple worship. You know what the beauty is today in this dispensation of the body of Christ? You know what the beauty is? That whole temple component, that wall of partition has been ripped down and shredded in half. Paul says, we have, through the Spirit, full access to the Father. And it's not coming into this church to find him. The full access to the Father is in your heart through the Holy Spirit, knowing who he is. You have full access of Scripture. You can understand God's goodness, his faithfulness, his love, and his mercy. How accessible? Through the Holy Spirit. Thanksgiving and gratitude of praise is what warms and stretches the human spirit to understand and receive more of God's faithfulness. It's the truth and the reality of where we're at. When thanksgiving and praise are offered first, it's like a referee to the human soul. It's amazing how much prayer is wasted that's not necessary and struggles with God's faithfulness. So many things that we call testing, so many trials and tribulation become less of a focal point when we recognize, first of all, the pathway to understanding God's faithfulness is thanksgiving and praise. And the only way you can be thankful and you can praise is that you're actively discovering the reality of God's goodness and the reality of God's faith and the reality of God's love and mercy. There's a powerful stewardship of that desperate craving in the soul of our hearts and the heartbeats of hundreds of you in this church when we become a people of thanksgiving and praise. When we become a people that understands God's faithfulness because we are faithful in knowing his goodness, we are faithful in demonstrating and living out the love and mercy. When we talk about that truth and that reality, it becomes more apparent in this church when we're really willing to listen and follow through. So the question we end with this morning, will those generations that follow us, will they find the same faithfulness that we find from the generations before us? Will those generations of children had the same opportunity to discover who God is, the reality of his faithfulness? Will they be challenged in God's faithfulness with thanksgiving as we are now? That's renewal. That's our vision. That's the next generation to to follow. And this church and the faithfulness of this church determines the response and the faithfulness of God interacting with us. God's spirit and our spirit combined, declaring we're the children of God. That's faithfulness interwoven with thanksgiving and gratitude. That's our vision. You know, a former president once said, freedom is never more than one generation away from extinction. And he's talking about, in a sense, politically, as a country, and the willingness to fight for freedoms that we have as Americans. But I think you can transition that spiritually. Freedom is never more than one generation away from extinction. Last week we talked about that one generation. All it takes is one generation. Paul talked about Timothy, and he said to Timothy, continue in what you've learned, you've been convinced of, because you know those from whom you've learned it, and how from infancy you knew the Holy Scriptures, which were making you wise to salvation. It was pointed out to me last week that from infancy, how did that happen? It first lived in his grandmother Lois and his mother Eunice. They were the only ones that knew him as an infant. They were the only ones invested into his life. The key to children is the investment of those generations ahead. All it takes is one generation. Faithfulness. God's goodness, his love and mercy, and he is faithful and transcendent to all generations through the faithfulness of each of us. I'm going to invite our 252 kids are going to come in, and they're going to sing as we close out our time of celebration. I have in this envelope almost 60 pledge cards. This represents over $1 million in pledges over the next 3 years that you as a congregation have committed to. That's something to celebrate. And you can celebrate by clapping or saying amen. I don't care, but it's something to celebrate. We are 2/3 of the way to the goal that we set months ago as a congregation where we wanted to be. That's remarkable. We haven't even started building yet. Imagine when we start building what people are going to do and say. Isn't that remarkable? Yes. We can be charismatic. It's okay. Jump. I don't care. Sometimes you just have to let it go. It's okay. But it's remarkable that's in here. So as these kids come up here, and we're going to celebrate, and we're going to join together in song, I want to have with you a prayer of dedication and commitment to this. And I want you also to know that that's only 25% of our entire congregation that committed last December that, yes, we vote for this project, and we will support it faithfully financially. I don't know what that means for you. Every one of you come from different economic backgrounds. You may have just have lost your job. I don't know what that means. You determine what that means in your own heart. But any amount, any investment, whatever it is you participating in climbing the mountain together. We as an entire church, we all want to climb that mountain. We don't want to be the people that hear about it from someone else. We want to climb. We want to be on the top. We want to survey, not the Matanuska Valley, but Byron Center community and the communities in your areas that you represent. That's what we want to look for. The only way to see that is stand on the mountain. Father God, we come before you. We are so grateful and so thankful for how you have worked in the hearts of so many people. Father, to be this far along in our goal is incredible to think about. When we reach 100% participation, where we'll be then. And I pray, God, that you'll challenge each one of us to climb the mountain together. It's not enough to sit in the valley and watch a few people climb it. We all join together. We all help each other. Those that are in walkers, we help them up. Those that are in wheelchairs, we push them up. Those that can't even walk, we carry them up. Doesn't matter. We all stand in the mountain, Father, to see what you've given to us to serve from this church. So we pray, God, that you'll give us hearts of faithfulness that seek yours, that knows your goodness, that understands daily your love and mercy, and believes in the truth of your faithfulness will pass from generation to generation as each generation before is faithful to the next. May that be our love. May that be our commitment. And we ask all of this in Christ's name we pray. Amen.